everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. We are off and running on the first Friday in September already, September 4th, 2026. Hope everybody had a great week. My buddy Brendan Kraft, the fine young man engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from Central Tucson in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios, part of the Bustos Media Broadcast Center. This is 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. This is our weekly edition of the Buckmaster Show. We're here each Friday, noon to one, as we continue with the tradition that began over 15 and a half years ago with our daily radio program. Then we transitioned into once a week, and it's been going very well in 2026. Of course, you have our worldwide live listening on our newly redesigned website, which I'm very proud of, buckmastershow.com. We've got also now a travel blog up there. We've got six trips on the travel blog. Might want to take a look at some California stuff. Our most recent one, Joe Ferguson with me from Tucson Agenda. Joe, our most recent one are the legendary beach towns from La Jolla to Laguna Beach.
Sounds wonderful. I'm jealous.
Oh, wow.
Jen Lesher is here, Pima County Administrator. We are in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, when we do our telephone interviews, and folks are always welcome to call at 790-2040. Our live line presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Sean and the team do a great job over there. A couple of our media partners, longtime partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith and Jim Ninsel and the team. Paul Ingram do a great job at the Sentinel, Green Valley News, and Sal Harita Sun. Dan Shear, who has now transitioned, Joe Ferguson, to the editor of the Nogales International.
Yeah, big change.
Dan hired a new editor, Jan Lesher, to take over down in Green Valley. But Jan and Joe, Dan is still the editorial director for WIC Communications. So he oversees their about two dozen publications that they have. Okay, we're going to do two Friday focus interviews today. First, Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher, then about 12:40 or so, get an update on some serious animal welfare issues. And Jan Lesher, you're a huge supporter of Pima Animal Care, but I'll tell you, it's a huge job for Steve Kasachek, former councilman on the city of Tucson and now the director over there.
It sure is. And well, you are right that it's a real passion of mine, and that for 15, 16 years now, really focused on making sure that we're taking care of everybody's pets in a manner that we expect in this community, which is an extraordinarily caring community. And we are really lucky to have Steve joining us and Steve running that department.
That's a 24/7.
It is. And he's a 24/7 guy.
Yeah, he is. All right. Jan Lesher, first, our condolences for the passing of Joel Ireland. Joel just had such an amazing career, elected school board member for decades, ran for Congress, was an attorney and a prosecutor, a developer who preserved historic homes near the university on Speedway. And of course, he had a spiritual passion, an ordained Episcopalian.
Yep, he was. That's when I first met him. And so we lived on campus, as it were. I think everyone knows that. St. Michael's out at Wilmot and Fifth, and so it's a beautiful facility. And thank you for kind words. Joel did a lot for this community, and I know he is missed. Thank you.
Yeah, Joe, anything on that?
I just was a great admirer of his work. I watched him when I was growing up, and his service to the community is, you know, it was going to be a legacy, I suppose.
He's been doing a lot, and he's got two wonderful boys, Aaron and Sam, who are picking up that baton and making sure that the historic work, as you mentioned, Bill, continues. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And what about planning? Many people have been asking me to ask you about the planning for a celebration of life.
There will be a celebration on life on Sunday, October 25th.
Okay.
That's all I know at this point. People could block your calendars, say the noon to 3-ish range, and we will keep you posted on location.
All right.
Thank
Joe
you.
Joe Ferguson.
So I guess we should probably just start with data centers. Today, the Tucson Agenda wrote about a an unknown data center that hadn't been discussed publicly in Sarita. It's not the one that was at Rancho Sarita, but it sounds like, you know, that there's just still some kinks working out as we transition into a new kind of NDA process. The county has amended it last year after Project Blue, and it sounds like you're going to take another bite of the apple next week.
We sure are, Joe. Thank you. I think that we learned a lot last year, not only about data centers, but we learned a lot about how our system really works with non-disclosure agreements and with our due diligence process. I think when a project came into the county to look at, believing that all other county departments other than economic development had a chance to opine. But I think what we've learned is we can do a whole lot better in that area to make sure that the health department, environmental quality, transportation, cultural resources, that everyone is engaged and involved in that. And the other concern I think we had is that all of our policies were written regarding an economic development project. So those would come into the county and be fully scrubbed. What you're talking about did not come to the county as an economic development program. It's land use. It is zoned appropriately at this point, and a company came in and applied for the normal process to locate a business. I think what we learned is that we then need to really expand our due diligence directives to ensure that we do the full review and scrub of all companies and of all potential businesses, regardless of how they enter the county system, not just economic development, but to make sure that anybody that wants to come into the community, we are doing the full 360 review. Chair Jen Allen has really been at the forefront of making sure we get that work modified for the county in both how we do our NDAs and then how we do the due diligence. I think, and as your article in the Tucson Agenda said today, Joe, and looking at when we've talked, there are the new NDA process came into effect about a year ago, I guess. Before that, there was a way we did business. The company that is looking at a facility now came in and signed up on the NDAs or non-disclosure agreements in the old way we do business. We have a few of those businesses that are kind of in that a little narrow wedge where they're continuing to try to work with Pima County and will be working with Pima County, but they were before the new rules went into place.
Are they grandfathered in then? Kind of.
What we're looking at is we've already got letters drafted. If the board amends their policy on Tuesday, I will write to each of those companies that has an existing NDA and inquires to whether they are willing to work with us to sign on to the revised NDA so that there's the secrecy in which those kinds of deals are operated, you know, in when they interact with government needs to be modified.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say, Joe, and then you can follow up about the NDAs. Do you have to have them? I mean, what would a Pima County that didn't allow NDAs look like, or is that even?
It's very difficult. In that, put aside just this type of business for a moment. All of our NDAs run through the procurement department. They are the owners, if you will, of the NDAs. When we go out to bid for banking services or office supplies or anything for which we go out to bid, people supply responses. Sometimes I would think about it when we went through and we're picking new healthcare providers. There's proprietary information in those documents. Our board needs to see them so that they understand, are they getting the best deal for the county? But in order for the board to make that evaluation, we need to see information that from a strictly business perspective, they might not all want to share. Cigna and Aetna, just as an example, don't want to share maybe the secrets of what their billing structure looks like. So it's the business aspect for which we run those NDAs. Mm-hmm. I think back, you know, in a previous life when I was at the Department of Commerce in Arizona, we were creating what was then called can't even recall the name, a different idea, which the idea now is known as the Arizona Commerce Authority. And it is to provide that sort of one-off, that there's an organization akin to government, related to government, but is private sector so that it can conduct some of those business transactions so that they are not, so that they can do business with folks who would not choose to work with us if everything they did was fully known.
Joe Ferguson.
Operating in this political atmosphere and this economy are constantly changing in a way that I haven't seen in my lifetime. Yeah. And so, you know, an NDA that was signed 18 months ago doesn't necessarily mean that that business is still interested in coming to Sarita, you know, now. So can you shed any light on whether or not the county is still discussing that site with that developer?
Joe, I just don't know. I mean, I think it's they've applied. They had been looking at it. Again, it's a different kettle of fish a bit in that it's there is nothing from a real affirmative action perspective for the county to do. It happens to be land in which they are the company, as we saw it, is permitted, et cetera. So it's not. We don't have any regulatory responsibility with, you know, air and water in that sense. So I don't know. I mean, I'm happy to get back with you all so you can share on the radio later what the status of that one project is. But you are, it's just a very different way of doing business today. And I think many of the companies that remained in that sort of hiatus status with NDAs have probably moved on. We just never closed them out, and that's what we got to figure out.
And what about the current site that had all the big controversy? What's going on there?
It is under construction. It is moving forward and being built.
For what it's worth, though, this is the most basic of construction. They're doing land clearing. They could... Yeah. You know, stop work. They haven't asked for vertical permits. They haven't done some of the things that indicate that they are going to be going horizontal, for lack of a better term. I mean, they could turn it into it. I mean, they're essentially in the same place that American Battery Factory is right now.
Just starting, everybody was, I think American Battery Factory is another one, started at a time when then all of their vendors and suppliers were hitting with tariff issues and concerns. So I hope, I don't have it at my fingertips, but we do provide information on the website, county's website, about Project Blue, the data center. So if people are interested in real specifics about the status of any of the permits, it's all online there.
It's a hot topic in upcoming midterm elections across the country. Many people don't want anything to do with data centers, including our current Attorney General. Chris Mays has said she does not feel that Arizona is the place for data centers because of sustainability issues. All right, we're going to have more with Jan Lesher, who I'm told will be celebrating her birthday. Oh, my goodness, coming up this Sunday. Excited about it?
I'm so excited.
Bill.
So excited. After 70, it's all just one slippery slide.
We'll be talking about, after we begin segment two, about your future plans. But right now, my plan is to send as many people, Jan and Joe, to my favorite Mexican restaurant, El Cisne, up in District 1. And that is El Cisne, which is located at the corner of Swan and Sunrise and El Cisne. I hope everybody's Spanish is good. Pick up on the Swan. So they're appropriately located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You'll find multicultural fine dining representing many regions of Mexico. Open daily for lunch and dinner, dine-in or take-out. They also do a great job catering. El Cisne, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Segment two with Joe Ferguson from the Tucson Agenda and Jan Lesher, Pima County Administrator. That's coming up in segment number two right after this short break. Travel is my lifelong passion. Visiting more than 100 countries, all 50 states, and flying on nearly 75 different airlines. I'm ready to talk travel anytime, anywhere. That's why I'm excited about our new monthly Travel Talk podcast, hosted by Bon Voyage Travel President Ryan Hansen. Check out the latest travel trends on Travel Talk at dvtravel.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Tr- travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The voter-approved Regional Transportation Authority Plan is investing in infrastructure improvements throughout our region, including better roads, expanded transit services, and bicycle and pedestrian enhancements across the region. Over the next 20 years, these investments will help our communities move more safely and efficiently. Stay informed and track project progress at rtamobility.com. That's rtamobility.com.
Welcome back. It is the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We're here each Friday. So today, September 4th. Boy, this September never can come fast enough, can it, Jan?
Last year, man.
How many summers?
If only it would start cooling down a little bit, you know, in September, we'd be in good shape.
I know. Joe Ferguson is here, too, from the Tucson Agenda. We're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. We thank their sponsorship. Also thank Sean and the team at Rincon Ventures for their sponsorship. They sponsor our live line, 790-2040. Jan Lesher, this will be your final few months coming up here. Have you made any plans for your post-retirement?
I'm going to
sleep. You've been
a
working,
bit.
I assume, for many years.
You know,
what was your first job? Do you recall?
I absolutely do recall. I worked at the Baskin Robbins over by Himmel Park.
Oh, you did?
That was just off Speedway and Country Club.
I remember.
Tucson Boulevard. Yeah.
And that opened up, like, I came out here from Chicago in 1965. Go to the U of A, and I think it was there at that time.
Well, I started working there in 1970.
Okay.
So it's been there. It was there a while.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the, I'm extraordinarily lucky. I started there in 1970, and I've been employed since. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I'm leaving a job that I'm not going to the next job and
right.
knowing where I'm going.
Right.
So I'm planning a lot of nothing. I think my cousin and I are going. We've done it before, but we're going to the Sphere to see the Eagles on a Friday. And that's my sort of thing to myself, that I don't have to worry about what day of the week things are anymore.
Yeah.
So, and just taking some time. I'm not going anywhere. This is my hometown. I love it. Mm-hmm. And I hope to stay involved. I'll just be on other boards.
You can
and
pick
things.
And choose your
you
projects.
Got it.
You know.
Sleep a little.
Joe Ferguson, why don't you start things off here? Maybe it would be appropriate to, what about the succession plan?
So I'm sure you'll give us an update in this answer, but I do want to ask this question. Mm-hmm. What's the advice you're going to give your successor? What's the one thing you can say publicly that, you know, they need to be concerned about for the next 2, 5, 10 years for Pima County?
Oh, jeepers. I've already started a list. I have a notebook, so to sit and talk through. You know, I actually was chatting with some of the board about this, Joe. I think for me, the challenge is going to start to be what I see as those some things that are headed towards each other in a bit of a collision course. That's not good versus evil or bad. It's just one issue I've been chatting with folks about. We're talking more and more about lighting fields. So that kids can play soccer at night. You know, it's hot, it's miserable, they can go out in the mm-hmm. evening and enjoy it, which sounds wonderful. And then we look at where we're looking to light some of these parks, and it could have an impact on wildlife corridors and on dark skies. So how do we take all these things we love and put them together? You know, we're looking to move, as you know, we are moving the Valdez Library to a new location across the street. Libraries are wonderful opportunity for some of our homeless community, those who are unhoused, to find a place to get out of the out of the heat. But they sometimes can be off-putting to library patrons. How do we find opportunities to serve both of those groups?
That's so the downtown library talking about. Yeah.
Thank you. But mm-hmm. So I think those kinds of issues. For mm-hmm. me, I think then the next great challenge, next year in 2027, the board is going to be looking to go out to the public with a bond election. And Pima County used to go out and get more bonds every couple of years. I think back to 1997, we went out twice that yes. year and totaled almost $800 million in 97 dollars.
People had a tendency then to say yes.
Yep. And then we got a little, I think, hoggish and had...
That was a huge bond issue that went down in flames.
Yeah.
It was huge.
So it's been over 10 years, though, and so we really need to go back and make sure that we are finding ways to deal with really critical infrastructure. And I think that's going to be the challenge, and it was huge. And we started getting to the area of wants, I think, and not really focused on needs. So I think that's what we're going to be looking at. What are those public safety... community benefit items, and I think that's going to be important because we've got buildings that are dying on us. You know, the lawyers are in a legal services building on North Stone, and in the last couple of weeks, there's some days they don't have elevators, and some days they don't have water, and some days they have neither. So we've got work to do.
Mm-hmm. Joe, I just wanted to follow up on that about law enforcement there, and you can chime in here. There is this perception, this narrative that's being pushed around town that this is a very unsafe community. But then when I have people from the Tucson police on, they say crime is going down. The sheriff who's been on here has said that it's not. It's pretty much the same in Pima County. Do you want to comment at all on that? Do you think it's a safe community?
Well, I think... I think we're doing a lot to make sure that it is in some areas. I think, though, that, you know, it's a little bit, I think people would find, well, my guess is that people would tell you and would answer that question differently if they lived in unincorporated Pima County or in Oro Valley or in the heart of downtown
right.
Tucson,
yes.
that there are pockets, as there are in any mm-hmm. any community. We spent this morning, I was in a meeting as we were really trying to navigate the loop. To see how do we make it safe for mm-hmm. people, and that's up to and including if somebody's got an e-bike, you know, can they run you over versus dealing with people being attacked, and you know, how do they feel safe, and how do we ensure that people feel safe? And I think, though, Bill, the reality is if you don't feel safe in your home, my telling you that crime is down and things are good isn't going to change your mind about how you're feeling.
Exactly.
People who have lived somewhere and maybe had a neighbor, had a break-in, are going to not feel safe. And so statistics help.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're explaining things. And I think it's one of those areas in which we can always do better.
Mm-hmm. Joe?
I think that the statistic is the real number there because, you know, the numbers are going down, but people are seeing homeless or they're seeing petty crime. And so we talk about statistics, the major crimes that we talk about, the FBI tracks, yes, those numbers are statistically down and that's an apples-to-apples comparison, but people are seeing homeless in places that they didn't 5 years ago, and they equate that necessarily to petty crime or their packages mm-hmm. are being stolen or whatever that looks like. And so they say crime is up, but mm-hmm. we're not talking about the same two things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so
good point,
I think
yeah.
that's a real, you know, interesting kind of narrative. And at the end of the day, you know, arrests might be up, but prosecutions and convictions might be, you know, down. Mm-hmm. So these are a lot of numbers. So it's a very serious conversation. But I think Jan's right is that, you know, if you don't feel safe in your home, you're not going to be convinced by statistics.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think you said it. For those of us, you know, again, it's my hometown. And I know that there have always been areas of the community where you could see people camped out. Now it feels like wherever you go, you know, you're seeing that's not
yes.
just in one area anymore. And I think that's some of what we're seeing people respond to. And, you know, lots of reasons for it. You know, I think I go back to when, you know, when fentanyl is dirt cheap, that has a significant impact on other parts of the community and how we see this. As you all know, I get a different perspective on some of this now. We have three outstanding deputy county administrators at Pima County, and one of whom, our newest addition to the team, Chad Casmore, is someone known to many mm-hmm. from his many years at the Tucson Police Department.
Mm-hmm. As the chief.
So, as the yeah. chief. And so, well known there, Steve Holmes was a school superintendent at the Sunnyside School District, very much involved in critical issues of dealing with students and their families. And then, of course, our third, Carmine DeBonis, who's been with the county for 35 years. So we have just a great blend of individuals providing real different perspectives on the issues.
Is there a different approach in the county and the city for people who stand on the street corner and ask for money or whatever?
They are not allowed on the medians in unincorporated Pima County. I think for people who may be out in the, as you start getting out near Foothills Mall in that area, you may see signs on medians that are the county signs asking people not to give money to individuals they see. But we've worked with the Community Foundation, and there is a fund at the foundation. Say, please give money to those individuals, to that fund, and we'll make sure people get money. But we've all seen it. I got to tell you, people who stand on those medians, it's just frightening to me. I see them run into the traffic when
and
someone's
with,
offering them
with
something.
Companion animals.
And the city passed an ordinance last year, I believe, that essentially criminalized it as well. I got some statistics from DPD not that long ago about that. So they're enforcing it inside the city limits too now.
Again, it's just not safe.
Yeah.
So we've got about 5 minutes with you, Jan. As you leave, I assume you're preparing, how's that can work with the fiscal year budget for 27-28?
Well, we're getting started.
I mean, you can't walk out the door and
good luck. not at all. And we're actually one of the things I'm proud of with the county. We are in good, solid fiscal shape.
As you leave, you're in good fiscal shape. But
and
you need some.
Well, we start the process in October of the budget. And we begin dealing with departments in October and beginning to look at the initial iterations of the budget start at the end of this year. So I will be at least putting a shell together for the new person to come on board in January.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to be hit with like a wish list and an understanding of the financial challenges when they get in there so that they understand that the PM County Attorney's building doesn't have water last week and that kind of stuff? So they understand that the fiscal year budget as well as why you're going out for a bond when they come into the door?
Yeah. Well, and Joe, I think with the leadership of this board, one of the wonderful things that's occurred in the last couple of years is, first of all, our integrated infrastructure plan and the CIP, our capital improvement plan in the budget. We have for everyone to see what we believe is the next 10 years of need. The first 5 years of that are our capital plan, and then the first year of that's the current budget. So people who are joining us or might be looking to take the job can look at what that infrastructure is going to look like, what we believe for the next decade. We are working with many of our departments are doing their own strategic planning and visioning. So if, as an example, you want to know what the future of parks looks like, there is a master plan. And we're seeing more and more of that with the departments. And then our own board this last year developed their first strategic plan and vision.
You asked the department heads this year for what they termed a dream list. So those dream lists, which are wants and needs and things they'd like to do and when they move forward, those aren't part of those strategic plans. Those are something separate, right?
They are. And again, one thing, all of the dream requests, anything on our budget is on the website. But we ask people to start thinking about what they want to do in the future because it helped me get an idea of where people's vision is and where they're going. So it's also, we're not going to be surprised in another year or so. One of the great challenges of the last couple of years is we are just, December of this year is when we have to spend the last penny of all the COVID dollars. So when you look at the Recovery Act and COVID,
we had six years.
Yeah, we had almost, half a billion
dollars.
5 or 6 years
of funding.
Yep. Hundreds of millions of dollars into the county. Now, we're the public health entity, so much of it went to vaccine and testing and things we kind of forget about. But that was a lot of money. And we see jurisdictions around the country who maybe didn't plan as well hitting that cliff and suddenly having many employees lost. And we've been phasing out of that for a while. So that's one of the reasons I think we're in good shape. But the dream lists, I think, will give a new county administrator a vision of the future, as well as with our board now, we have the strategic plan, we have goals and pillars, we've redesigned the way items go to our board of supervisors for consideration, so that every item considered by the board has to indicate how it connects to the strategic plan, how it connects to basic pillars of need for the county, and how it connects with the prosperity initiative, so that we're always seeing that we are on mission. It's easy to start looking at new projects and things and take on more, but we have to continue our core mission.
And your meetings once a month will be in the evening?
We meet twice now, the second and the fourth Tuesdays, starting at 5 p.m. There is on the second Tuesday the month, mm-hmm. where there's a study session that generally starts about 1 o'clock, but it depends on how many items there are. So you'll see some of the executive session things happening in the daytime, but then everything else starts at five.
How is that going?
You know, I don't know, in that we have had a lot less attendance.
That's how I wondered if there was.
But I don't know. We're looking at the numbers now, to be perfectly honest. The period of time right before we went to evening meetings was filled with data center discussions. Mm-hmm. So it's not completely apples to apples, and that we were packed to the, you know, to the rafters for a while. And now we have maybe 10 people coming to call to the public, but it's also a very different set of issues that the board may be talking mm-hmm. about.
All right, Jan Lesher, we'll have an exit interview with you some Friday in December, if that's okay.
Sure.
We'll work something out here. Will there be any kind of like transition, or are you going to stick around for a little bit? Or
no, the board is scheduled to, first, I keep referring to the website, but the times and dates yeah. are there. The board should get down to 2 to 3 finalists for the position, and we'll be having them in public meetings on the 19th and 20th of October,
okay.
so that the public can come and meet people and get to know folks. And we hope on the 20th they will select the new county administrator, which will give us a good couple solid months.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Jan Lesher, happy birthday coming up on Sunday. Boy, there's a lot going on in your life right now.
Good times.
Keeps us
off the streets.
Yeah,
keeps
right?
That's right. Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Thanks,
Jim. Thanks. Your friend and colleague, Steve Kasacek, is coming up after the break, and Joe Ferguson will continue as my fine media co-host in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Be right back. For more than 30 years, the nonprofit Save the Scenic Santa Rita's has protected Tucson's water and rare Sky Island ecology from large-scale industrial mining in the Santa Rita Mountains south of Tucson. The Santa Rita Mountains include sacred Native American sites, a crucial Sonoran Desert watershed and habitat for endangered species including jaguars and ocelots. Learn more at scenicsantaritas.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Food insecurity is a huge challenge in our community. Please consider donating to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona and Interfaith Community Services. And don't forget our animal friends, supported by the Southern Arizona Food Bank, which makes sure no one ever has to make a choice of feeding their pets or feeding their families. Let's make sure no one goes hungry in Southern Arizona. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios on KVOI. Tucson's Voice, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be going to the live line momentarily and talk with Steve Kasachek, director of the Pima Animal Care Center. Joe Ferguson is with me in studio. Joe is my media co-host, and Joe does a fine job with the Tucson Agenda, which is in my inbox religiously at 6 a.m. It's there, and Joe does a great job Monday through Friday keeping our area very much informed. Let's go now on the live line. Steve Kasachek joining us. Steve, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, and thank you for the invitation, and congratulations to Joe on the great work that they do with the agenda. I also get it every day.
Yeah, they're doing a great job. We had some issues with distemper during the summer. Have things settled down? What is the what's the 30-second elevator pitch, perhaps, on how things are going at Pima Animal Care Center?
All of that is in our rearview mirror now. We had a shutdown. We had to shut the facility down for a couple of weeks right before the 4th of July. We have tested and vaccinated every dog, every animal, every dog in the facility. It was quite an effort, but we're back up and running, and we invite people to come out here and take home a new family member.
What is your census now, right at the shelter?
Today we are right around 435, and to put that in dogs, about 100 cats, that's not a problem. The issue with the dogs, of course, is that we have 218 kennels for the large dogs, so we are roughly double capacity. One of the positives in the whole equation, though, is that we have opened up the Eastside Adoption Center, roughly Broadway and Kolb, and every animal, dog and cat, that is that people find out at EPAC is sourced from this shelter from PAC Maine, and so the dogs and cats have a 1-for-1 positive impact on PAC's census when they go out to EPAC and get adopted into homes from out there.
Are you seeing some good numbers with the adoptions out there on the east side?
Yeah, you know, we've really been well received. We opened up on June 1st, which is probably the worst time of year to try and open up. The visitors are gone. It's hot. People, you know, the adoptions numbers are typically down during the hot months of the year. And then right after we opened up, 2 weeks after we opened up, of course, we had the distemper shutdown, which did affect the Eastside Center as well, because, as I say, all the animals that are sourced out there come from here. And so the numbers took a bit of a dip immediately after we opened. But so far in the first couple of months that we've been open, we've adopted more than 200 dogs and more than 150 cats just out of the Eastside shelter alone, Eastside Adoption Center alone. We do have coming up on Saturday, the 26th of this month, our formal grand opening out there from 10 until 2. And so there'll be a big push to get that out into the press, and once things start to cool off a little bit, the students are back, the winter visitors are coming back, and so our numbers are gonna only go up, both here at PAC and out at EPAC once that happens. But yeah, we're pleased with the numbers. Over 200 dogs and over 150 cats in a couple of months is not nothing. And those animals otherwise would have been here on the west side. And as you and I have spoken before, we recognize, you know, we're at 4,000 North Silverbell. That's right at the base of the Tucson Mountain foothills. It is literally a 45-minute drive from PAC to EPAC. And so we know that people in Vail, people in Rocking K, Rita Ranch, they're not generally going to take that hour drive to come out to PAC and look for an animal. And so we are capturing, hopefully, a new audience, a new customer clientele by being out at Broadway and Kolb at 7225 East Broadway in the old Joanne Shopping Center, the former Joanne Shopping Center. And quite honestly, we are really in the shopping center itself has gone through a transition. There's a karate studio next to us that has a lot of youth programs. There's a CrossFit facility in there in the same shopping center. There's a new business called Slick City that opened up that's very family-centric. It's an entertainment venue in the same center. And so there are a lot of family-centered kinds of activities in the center. And so we really moved in at the right time in terms of the occupancy and the change in the vibe of the whole center.
All right, here's Joe Ferguson.
So I know that the best thing that anybody can do is to help by adopting a pet or giving financially to pet, but what are some other ways that the community can help? Are you still accepting donations like old blankets and sheets to make the kennels more comfortable for the dogs?
Yeah, donations can be taken to either PAC or EPAC anytime that we're open. We're open 7 days a week. And the website has all the hours. They're 12 to 6:30 Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 1:30 to 6:30 on Wednesdays, and weekends 10 to 4:30. So yeah, donations can come out here anytime that we're open. I think that from a census perspective, other than adopting, of course, the other program that we have in place that is really a value to us and to the community is our foster program. When people hear foster, they should not immediately go to, gosh, this has got to be a long-term thing. We have, and I mentioned the students coming back, we have students come out here and take a dog home for a pajama party overnight or over a weekend. They can come and take a dog out to a park just for a few hours. Or they can do the long-term foster, where people take the animal into their home and actually help to market the animal and to find it a new home while it's in the foster home. And quite honestly, we have a lot of people who take the foster animal home with the expectation that they're going to be wind up finding it a new home, and they wind up keeping the animal themselves. So we love our foster fails, but we probably 1,300 round numbers animals in foster right now between dogs and cats. And as you can imagine, that's a huge deal, because otherwise we'd be looking for shelter space for those animals. And so the foster program is literally a life-saving function that we have here that really, really gets the animals out for hours or days or months and into a new environment. The shelter stress is a real thing. We're really focused on a concept called compassion, our capacity for care. And that is, it's not just a numbers thing. It's, do we have the ability to provide a humane environment for the animals here in the shelter? Can we get them out of the kennels and get them enrichment every day? Are we able to provide the adequate medical care, the veterinary care in our clinic that we need to? So getting animals out into foster, while they are still our obligation in terms of vet care, they're out of kennels, they're in homes, they're in a more natural environment, and they simply become more adoptable when they can really show their true nature in a less stressed environment, such as in a kennel.
Steve Kasachek, a listener, wonders, could a pet owner foster their own pet while PAC finds the animal a home?
Can a pet owner foster their own pet?
Such as trying to rehome the pet.
Trying to rehome the pet.
So I think the transaction would look something like this. If they wanted to surrender the pet to PAC and then foster it back out.
There you go.
That certainly can be done.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm only hesitant is because all of the animals in foster care, as I mentioned, are our property.
Right.
We are responsible for their vet care. We are ultimately responsible for finding them a home. And if something happens in the home and the people, for instance, winter visitors, if they foster an animal while they're here and then they go back to Michigan in March or whenever, then that animal comes back to PAC. So for your for your listener, you would first need to surrender the animal to us. It becomes our property, and then fill out the foster paperwork. We would expect that person to be actively marketing and trying to find a home for it, because mm-hmm. what we're not doing is we're not putting animals out into foster and simply becoming a long-term free vet care facility for people. And we keep an eye on that. You know, mm-hmm. when people take an animal into foster, we expect them to be actively trying to rehome it. And so it's the goal is not to simply say, you can take this dog for 4, 5, or 6 years and we'll just be your free vet care for the duration. There is a limit, and at some point we'll either say, you know, fish or cut bait, where you're going to take the animal and take it on as a family member and with all the obligations that attend to that, or we'll bring it back to the shelter and try and rehome it from here.
Joe and I were discussing before you came on this narrative in the community that it is not a safe place right now. As a former council person, I'm sure you've got some thoughts on that quickly, Steve Kasachek.
Well, I live here, and I'm happy here, and I'm not looking to jump ship. And I play guitar and play music in the downtown area every month and all over the community. And so I don't walk around packing heat. I feel pretty safe in this community. I think the Board of Supervisors and City Council are doing the best they can with the resources they have.
Joe, any final thoughts?
Just wanted to ask real quick, you know, if you have any thoughts about the terrible tragedy over the weekend.
The shooting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a Tucson thing. This is a national thing. We have, as you know, from the coverage you've had through media, I've been a long advocate of gun safety, gun control, and sadly, it's a refrain that just keeps coming up again and again and again, and it's almost white noise, and that's unfortunate because these are tragic, and it's even the people who survived, in air quotes, the shooting. Are gun shooting victims. Lots of people that carry the scars emotionally and physically for the rest of their lives. The PTSD involved in it. So it's a situation that is far too common. And sadly, I don't see a light at the end of that tunnel in terms of legislative changes that are going to make a significant difference. I've kind of come to the point where you know, I'll keep advocating for it, but not having a seat at that table right now, it's I'm kind of on the sidelines watching with the same kinds of emotions that you and Bill have, you and Cher with it.
And one final thought about bus fares: should they be free, Steve Kasachek?
Well, I don't have a vote. And I appreciate being able to get on a bus and the convenience of riding a bus for free. So I guess I'll just leave that to the decision makers and let them fight that battle. I've got plenty of battles to fight here at PAC, and we're going to do that every day and try and find new homes for these animals and let the elected officials fight over bus fares.
Again, before we let you go, Eastside PAC, your hours and location.
7225 East Broadway. It's about two blocks east of Kolb on Broadway on the north side of the street. The hours are exactly the same as Main PAC. We are open from 12 till 6:30 Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. 1:30 to 6:30 on Wednesday, and 10 until 4:30 on the weekends. So pay us a visit. We got dogs and cats at both locations, and all of them would love to ride home in your car with you and find a new forever home.
Are there volunteer opportunities, Steve Kasachek?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Both facilities have volunteers, and we can't operate without them. So you can contact either location, and we would love to have you sign up. I would say the most urgent need for volunteers is clearly out of the Eastside facility. And they would love to have you poke your head in and offer to get trained and get involved on a volunteer basis.
All right, Steve Kasachek, good catching up with you. An update on what's going on at Pima Animal Care Center. Thank you, sir.
Thank you both. Take care.
And where are you performing next, by the way?
I will be out at the Rocking K Bar and Restaurant on Old Spanish Trail on 9/11 from 6 till 8, and then at Corbett's downtown the following Wednesday on the 16th from 5:30 till 8:30.
And you take requests?
Yeah, I can try. If you ask for the right song, I'll play it.
Have a great weekend, Steve.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Care.
All right, Joe Ferguson. Thank you, Joe. And folks can find you and the Tucson Agenda where?
TucsonAgenda.com.
And the service, easy to sign up for?
One email address is all we need, and then we get you started.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Hope you have a great weekend.
Hope you do, too.
Coming up next, Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive. Be right back.
At Tucson International Airport, we make it easy to fly from the moment you arrive.
Hop in. We'll get you from parking to the terminal in no time.
We keep our lines short so you can get to your gate quickly.
Why deal with the big city airport when you can relax with our dining options before your trip?
We'll get you off the gate and into the air fast.
At TUS, we make it easy. Visit flytucson.com. Now with nonstop flights to Portland, Las Vegas, and Salt Lake City.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The new Regional Transportation Authority Plan is delivering long-term upgrades to transportation infrastructure across our region. Everything from roadway improvements to expanded transit and new bicycle and pedestrian connections. These projects are designed to keep you moving, connected, and support our community. Visit rtamobility.com for updates on what's happening near you. That's rtamobility.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Friday at noon on September 11th, our Friday Focus interview features Tim Tomier. Mr. Tomier is the city manager of the city of Tucson, plus Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive on 1030 KVOI The Voice. We're always live Fridays at noon at buckmastershow.com, which is also the place for our complete show archive. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now for your enchanting getaway in, appropriately enough, the land of enchantment, Silver City and Grant County. An easy 3-hour drive east of Tucson. One of the top times of the year to go over there is autumn. Nothing like it. Autumn in New Mexico. Ton of stuff to do over there, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Give it a try. Visit silvercity.org. That's the website. Visit silvercity.org. Leslie Lois is here from 101.7 The Drive. Labor Day weekend, a lot of folks getting the 3-day weekend and tons of stuff to do.
Absolutely. So tomorrow it's Made in Marana Fall Market going on. They're going to have lots of local vendors, baked goods, fun, drinks, food trucks, more. This is happening 8 to noon tomorrow at 9150 North Coach Line. It is free to attend. And also tomorrow night is the final Old Tuesday Tucson Night Market. My husband,
which have been very popular.
Very popular. My husband and I are just talking about going, starting to go Christmas shopping this weekend.
There you
so
go.
That is a great place to do that. That's 6:30 to 10 at Old Tucson. It is free admission and free parking for that. Now, this is pretty cool. So, of course, last week we lost Dolly Parton. But so what's happening on Monday is there's a celebration of Dolly happening at La Rosa. So there's local musicians that are going to come together and pay tribute to Dolly Parton.
Cool.
And the proceeds from the event will be donated to Dolly Parton's Imagination Library Foundation, which I think
is
really cool. It's $20, 7 o'clock on Monday. Oh, also coming up on Sunday, this is going to be a fun one. The Salsa, Tequila, and Taco Challenge is back. That's going to be...
Wow.
Yeah.
Go with an empty stomach.
Exactly. Sunday from 5:30 to 8:30. 5 to 8:30. That is at El Conquistador. It is a 21 and over event for that.
Mm,
yeah.
Take your appetite. You'll have a great time. Leslie Lois, have a great weekend.
Thanks,
thank you.
Thanks, you too.
All right. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is totally responsible for the content of our program. My thanks to Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing the show. Thank you, Brendan. Hope you have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe.